been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the another dramatic day in the market on this Wednesday, March the 25th, 2026. This is Bill Gunderson. It's the Best Stocks Now show. And I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. And we've got drama. Never a dull moment in the markets. We've got more optimism for a peace deal, and Pakistan is reporting that Iran has not accepted the peace deal. And in the meantime, the Dow is now up 281. It was up 500 until this memo from Pakistan came out. So it's by the minute right now. It's not by the day. It's not by the week. It's by the not even by the hour anymore. It's by the minute. Minute by minute, the Dow is at 46,405. The Nasdaq's up 222. Some weakness in the memory stocks today. The Nasdaq's up 1% to 21,977. Big tech has also been notably weak. The Microsofts, the Googles, the Metas of the world. S&P 500 is up 40 right now to 6,596. The small caps are up 1.35%, and the elephant in the room right now continues to be oil prices. Oil is down 4.95%, so oil is definitely seeing some optimism there in these peace talks. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, and I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst, and the soap opera, I suppose. Let's just name it Iran.
Fast-paced.
And it changes by the day, it changes by the hour, it changes by the minute. And I wrote in my newsletter over the weekend, I said, you know, I don't think I'd bet against this being solved at some point and oil prices coming down dramatically. And they have come down quite a bit from where they were at $106 per barrel last Thursday or Friday. Oh, crude is now at $87.80. Interest rates have not come down very much, so they remain high at 4.33%. The precious metals have some lift in their step once again. They're starting to turn around to the upside. Silver and gold. Gold's up 3.8%. Silver's up 5%. And I mentioned yesterday in my last missive that I sent out there's a turnaround taking place and some firming up there in the precious metals markets, which really had a dramatic sell-off after quite a dramatic run up. Of course, yesterday was another volatile day in the market. The oil stocks were very strong yesterday, especially LNG stocks. They're down a little bit today. The VGs, the LNGs, the APAs, the Devons of the world. So it continues to play out. And, I think the ones that seem to be throwing water on the whole thing, Israel on the one hand, they said yesterday that there's no way that the U.S. is close to a deal, even though the administration is saying they're close to one, and they did send out a 15-point, agreement. Here's what we would agree to, and the news is coming out of Pakistan, who's kind of an intermediary in all of this, that Iran has not agreed to the deal, but it's a work in progress. And in the meantime, the assault ships for the beach landing are headed that way. And it could be that we take over those islands out there in the Strait of Hormuz, where most of Iran's oil runs through those islands. 90% of their oil.
It's a big terminal. It's where they load the ships. Yeah. So
I mean, you take the control of that. I don't think Iran would be able to get it back in their control, and that pretty much, that kind of cinches the deal, although they'll do everything they can do to sabotage that, I'm sure. So things are being worked out. And then, the other ones throwing cold water are the ones that think they're in running Iran right now.
Yeah, right.
The head of the military, he says, what is the U.S. thinking? They're negotiating with themselves. We're not negotiating at all. But there is negotiations taking place with who we perceive to be the leadership of Iran at the current time. The former head of their Congress or whatever, parliament over there. And, I still think that this thing's going to get resolved one way or another. And Trump is claiming that Iran offered us a present. We don't know what that present is. We're thinking.
I saw that.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a gold statue, a recipe, or passage through the Strait of Hormuz. But he said they did that to show good faith in the war resolution negotiation. He declined to detail
say what it was. Yeah.
But he did say it's worth a tremendous amount of money. Now, he is known for hyperbole.
I'm gonna have to go on Kalshi at the break and see what if there's any percentages of what that gift is. It like a black
maybe oval, AI knows,
or like a diamond, or a statue, like you said, or or passage through
the head of the Ayatollah's son. I don't know, on a silver platter. But anyways, there's a lot of moving parts, and the poor market's trying to keep up with it.
At least it's green at the moment, yeah, right?
And yesterday was a rather bad day in the market, and we've had a really good day in the market. We just happened to be in all the right places yesterday with the natural gas and some of the inverse funds that we're in, and even the AI stocks had a good day yesterday.
Palantir, I've seen a lot of good news on Palantir. Obviously, they're the AI story, but they're also getting a boost from the war front. So it's really unique. It's actually a really unique name in this environment of how it's performed and where it is in the news. I mean, they've been using. I saw something where I think it was the CEO of Palantir was discussing about this is kind of the first war waged with AI, and talking about some of the way they've targeted these some of the military targets and what munitions to use on these particular targets. So it's really interesting beyond just
the private company. And Dural is the other one that's heavily involved in this, so definitely the weapons of war have changed quite a bit from my father's World War II submarine, diesel submarine experience. But, today AMD was having a big day. Dell's having a big day. Palantir, GE Vernova, CCJ, which is Cameco. The gold stocks are doing well. Nvidia was doing well. TSM lithography, but again, it's minute by minute as the day progresses. Now, I want to give you the memory stocks are down again today. Some guy in the UK put out a target price on Micron of 190 yesterday. I mean, what in the world are you thinking, man? And I looked up all of the different target prices.
190. He just cut it in half, basically.
Yeah, he says it's trading at peak earnings and peak multiples and all this and that. And maybe they have a big short position. I don't know. Maybe he's doing the bidding of a short seller. But I just thought that's a crazy multiple or a crazy target price, but the stocks are reacting to this guy. I looked up 10 different analysts, their target price on Micron. The consensus, if you do a consensus of all of them, it's 535. And there's some as high as 700. And you can look up our target price on the Best Stocks Now app. I believe in our target price, and I think this guy has kind of upset the apple cart for now. But Micron's trading at 383. Consider that. His target price was 170. What an outlier. There's always somebody like that out there in the market. And the consensus, I looked at nine other target prices, which I have access to, and the average is 530. I buy that a lot more than I buy 170. We'll be right back.
I'm the train they call the city of New Orleans. I'll be gone 500 miles when the day is done.
Welcome back here to the second segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. We're coming to Sarasota. Boy, I tell you, airline tickets right now are just like, what? I'm driving.
Yeah, I think we.
I'm taking the Greyhound bus.
Try the train. Didn't you say you did the train one time?
Yeah, but it drops you off in Tampa.
Right, and you can't get there.
And then you got to hitchhike to Sarasota, and you look pretty stupid as a professional money manager hitchhiking, down to Sarasota. But we'll work it out. I'm thinking of driving down with the two junior analysts. Let them drive while I'm writing the newsletter in the back.
Yeah.
You know.
You got a driver, and you can keep working while you're on the road.
Dang right. That's what. Well, when we go on vacation, the airplane, I'm working. In the hotel room, I'm working. Not at the baseball games. I leave the computer at home.
But when you're on the road, sometimes I know.
Yeah.
My wife drives. Significant others are driving. Yeah,
yeah.
Exactly.
She drives. Okay, so April 7th, 8th, and 9th. Coming to Sarasota, one of our favorite places to go to, at the Even Hotel in Lakewood Ranch. And Tuesday night, 7 p.m., workshop, space limited, reserve a seat, 855-611-BEST. And those one-hour appointments on Tuesday and Wednesday, going fast. Grab one of those one-hour appointments while you got a chance. 855-611-BEST. Be nice to Edie, and she'll try to get you in one of the prime times. That 3 a.m. slot's always tough to fill.
She's shuffling, I'm telling you.
She shuffles them. She greets you at the door. She does a fantastic job at what she does on these trips. Okay, Jamie Dimon, who is kind of the ultimate pessimist, has been my observation.
Yeah, put it this way, if your company owns a lot of bonds or you're in the bond world, you're usually pessimistic because that's usually good.
I guess.
You got to talk the market down so then they lower interest rates and it makes everything great, right?
Well, he says the Iran war may bring lasting peace to the region. That's coming from Jamie Dimon. He says, I think the war makes it a better chance in the long run of peace.
Yeah,
it's riskier in the short run because we don't know the outcome. But he says, here's the difference between now and 20 years ago. He says lasting peace is now got all of these influential players getting together, including the U.S., Israel, United Arab Emirates, Saudi Arabia, and Qatar. They're all on the side of peace. And, you know, Iran doesn't have a lot of allies at this point in time.
Well, and it's an economic conglomerate, too. It's not a, you know, that's a pretty powerful group just from an economic standpoint.
Yes.
Not even mention the military point of view.
And you notice that these other countries in the Middle East, they're flourishing. You know, you look at Dubai and the United Arab Emirates and Saudi Arabia, they're flourishing. Qatar's flourishing. We saw all of that when Trump made his visit over there, and dang, Iran needs to get caught up into Cuba's even further behind, obviously. But here's the money line from Jamie Dimon. He says they can't have neighbors lobbing ballistic missiles into their data centers.
No, I mean it's true. I mean I was seeing a story about building these data centers over there, and they had to stop construction on one because you were having a potential incoming fire, and you know that's part of the story, right? I mean, if you one of the big investments were them, you know, buying NVIDIA chips, right? Building these data centers over there, and yeah, that's a good quote.
Yeah, never mind colleges and churches and libraries and museums. Now we're worried about data centers. That's become our cathedral of choice in this crazy world we live in today. Indian refiners secure 60 million barrels of Russian oil. They just had to make the check payable to Vladimir Putin. And they got their oil. They paid a premium.
Make the Bitcoin and gold payable, too.
Yeah, maybe that's why gold's going up. They booked it at $15 to $15 a barrel premium to Brent. And they also got a big load of oil from Iran, which, you know, we ease the restrictions there just to keep the price of oil down. And it has worked. You know, it's come down quite a bit from where it was, and you're seeing all the stocks that were getting hurt, the airlines, the cruise ships, the truckers, they're all starting to stabilize and move up. Pentagon strikes a deal to boost production of key missile systems. Well, you can never let your guard down. Lockheed Martin, BAE Systems, Honeywell, all producing missiles. And at the meantime, we're working on a Golden Dome for us, like the one like Israel has. Now, one slips through there every once in a while. You've had several go get through in Tel Aviv, and a lot of people injured and hurt. But that Golden Dome, you know, it must stop 98%. It's that 1% that gets through that is hell. But Anduril and Palantir are working on software for the Golden Dome Shield, which I'm sure a lot of those Middle East countries would love to have their own Golden Dome like Israel has. Private credit back in the news today. BlackRock CEO Larry Fink, which they're a big player in private credit, he says it does not pose a systemic risk to financial markets despite recent redemption pressures on some retail funds. Well, I remember Bear Stearns and Lehman Brothers saying the same thing in 07, that there is not a systemic risk here. But, you know, he could be right. I hope he's right. I hope this isn't another 2008, 2009 in the making here. But he did an interview on BBC pushing back forcefully against comparisons to the 2000 and 2008 financial crisis. So it may be more of a contained crisis. Nevertheless, this is a big crisis, especially if you're a retiree that invested in private credit and was sold this garbage by a Wall Street firm or one of their distribution channels, and you're stuck holding the bag. Fink dismissed concerns by Mohammed El Arian, who's a pretty smart guy. He was, the CEO of PIMCO.
Yeah. Haven't seen anything from him in a while. It's interesting to see his comment. Yeah. He was at the IMF. Remember, he was the head of IMF before that.
Yes, Mohammed El Arian have likened the current conditions to 2007-2008. And Fink, who's printing this crap and selling it BlackRock, said he would love to debate Mohammed El Arian right now. I don't see any similarities at all. Zero. He says 2007 was based on hidden leverage, just gigantic. Well, you could say that. I don't know that there's the leverage factor here in this. It seems to me like you're buying one for one, these private credit pools. I just think that the biggest problem is the quality of these pools of credit. They're going to be writing those things down like crazy at some point. And Well, $2.2 trillion is what he says is involved right now. We'll be right back.
And the boys upstairs just don't understand anymore. Well, the top brass don't like him talking so much, and he won't play what they say to play.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
Welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Let's just do a little check on the markets. They've definitely come off their highs, but they're maintaining a pretty good gain here. The Dow's up 390 and the NASDAQ up 283, which indicates optimism. Optimism on a possible resolution and peace plan to this conflict, this current conflict in the Middle East, which could, according to Jamie Dimon, and I have to agree with this, there's always going to be rogue groups out there. But the country of Iran, if it can be taken over by, more of a democratic type of government and more of a freedom-loving people, that could really help a lot. Okay. Now, other things taking place. We're talking about this private credit situation. I think it's worse than he's letting on. He kind of has a conflict of interest, Larry Fink, at BlackRock, because they're big proponents of it. He claims that right now the demand for it. Now, remember, about 20% of this private credit is owned by private citizens, you know, and the other 80% is institutions. And he says the demand, the institutions are still demanding, and so they're still floating and creating more private credit. But this is Larry Fink, who's making a lot of fees off of all of this stuff. I think it's worse than he's letting on, and I think I'm on the side. If we had a debate, I'd be sitting on Mohammed Alarian's side about how this is garbage and it's not going to end well. Okay, the buzz is out. SpaceX, as soon as next week, maybe. Or wow. Maybe when we're in Sarasota, we'll see one of them go over our head. That's always exciting, right? When it buzzes right over your hotel room. A SpaceX rocket being fired by Elon Musk from Port Canaveral.
Yeah,
I did watch one.
The jet trails would always. Yeah, we saw. Well, you saw one very up close, didn't you? I mean, you were right there.
The hotel we were staying, right out the back window was the launcher. And all of a sudden there's a glow, this bright glow. It's not like what I imagined with the trail and everything, because this one shot off like at 1 a.m. I got up to watch it. It was just a bright glow, and then there was nothing. It was gone. It was in space.
Out of
just
sight.
Like that. Kind of anticlimax, really. But you've got the SpaceX buzz out there, and, you know, that has been one of the leading sectors of the market this year. EchoStar, satellites and rockets, EchoStar, which is SATS, Rocket Labs, RKLB, you have AST, Space Mobile, which is ASTS, Space, SPACE, is SpaceLink, but it's private. You've got Intuitive Machines, which is Lunar, which that's another leading group in the market this year, the drones, some of the drone stocks. That one that we were invested in has not done well at all.
Is that AVAV?
Hasn't done well at all. Yeah. You've got Virgin Galactic. You've got Sidus, which is SIDU. You've got Iridium Communications, Global Star, Viasat. Those are pretty much your space stocks. And, of course, Kathy Wood has a space ETF, if you wanted some exposure to all of them. Let's go back to the memory story, which we were talking about here a little bit ago. I mentioned that somebody put out a $170 target price. Some guy in the UK, I looked him up, and he did work for JP Morgan. He was the head researcher for the telecom stocks. And I thought, what is he thinking? That would be two times 2027 earnings. How can he say that that is the max multiple that it will trade at? And like I say, he's an outlier, because if you look at 10 analysts and you do a consensus target price, 12-month target price, it's 533. And the stock's currently at 385. We're talking about Micron. Now, SK Hynix is the one we talked about yesterday. It jumped 6% in Seoul today as a U.S. listing plan is moving forward.
Yeah, you mentioned that yesterday. That's going to be pretty big. I mean, it's going to create a lot more demand for the stock, I feel like.
I just don't think that you've seen the end of this memory story. I would use this pullback opportunity to take a little stab at these four stocks. And then I also mentioned that there's going to be a 2X ETF on these South Korea memory stocks, which there's two of them. There's SK Hynix and there's Samsung. But anyways, this SK Hynix plans to launch American depository receipts, which are ADRs, by 2026. Although the specifics like the size, method, and schedule of the offering are not yet determined. But I'll tell you, these two stocks are a big part of South Korea's economy. Just like ASM lithography dominates the economy of the Netherlands, and it dominates the European index, these two stocks are a big chunk, like 50% of the index. The South Korea index is these two stocks. But local reports suggest the company aims to raise approximately $6 to $10 billion. The funds will be used to build AI infrastructure, so that's what's happening right now. And we are working on, we have the initial draft of a story, an article on one of these memory, and the memory sector in general, and I'm hoping to get it cleaned up today, do the final details on it, and have it and submit it to Seeking Alpha tomorrow. Intel, AMD, CPU supply. Now, these are lower-end, you know, CPUs, which control run your PC. Supply constraints are impacting the PC and server markets. But, man, I'll tell you, a stock that took off is taking off right now. I believe that they're getting more and more their servers into this whole AI data center is Dell. And this is what Oracle wants to achieve. They want to become a main player, but they seem to be going the other way. The stock seems to be going the other way. It's just dead in the water right now. Whereas Dell all of a sudden has some terrific life to it. And I will say this. I went into the app yesterday and examined the target price that we have for Dell. And here's what's going on. Over the last four quarters, look at the acceleration in their growth. Four quarters ago, their revenue growth was 5%, pretty dull, P-E ratio 10, okay? And then all of a sudden, their growth was 19%, P-E ratio goes up to about 15%. Because now you're a growth company again. Then they had an 11% quarter. But this most recent quarter they reported, their growth was 39%. That's called acceleration in growth. And now their multiple is 17. So I went in and I looked at my growth rate. And I think that the Wall Street is a little bit low. I adjusted mine a little bit. And Dell meets all of our criteria at the current time. The momentum is really strong right now. On a scale of 1 to 99, it's a 94. I think it's an A+. That's how I originally discovered it. It showed up on a screen. All of a sudden, a stock of yesteryear is showing up either as a top rank, top 300 ranked stock, or A+ momentum, which caused me to look at it again. And I looked at the chart. Barry, I don't know if they talk about saucer charts in the course you took. Did saucers, cup and handles come up at all?
Yeah, it does. And some of those, it's funny when you look at statistically, right, if those patterns are significant or not, right? When you do the statistics, they tend to be, you know, right maybe 51% of the time sometimes.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, so they're not always the strongest. But, I mean, if a lot of people believe in them, guess what? It's a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Look at market surge today, and look at the saucer. This stock's been making a saucer from October to March. Now, a saucer is an accumulation phase. That means the stock is being accumulated. That means every attempt to sell it is being met with buying.
It means demand is high.
And then you get the breakout. Yesterday, from that saucer shape, it's one of my favorite patterns. I found it to be a pretty good one, especially if it's backed by very strong fundamentals. There's the key. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. And we have a pretty good day going on, as the optimism is there, at least for now, that oil prices are going to continue to come down. The VIX is dropping. It's down 6.4% today. And oil, the elephant in the room. You know, that's why for the last couple of years, I look at the oil price every day. It's one of the main things I look at. And you say, why do you do that? It's been stuck at 50 forever, 59, 60. Well, from time to time, it becomes the elephant in the room. And we find out just how dependent during a time like this that we are on oil. I saw the Chevron CEO was warning California that you guys are going to be in trouble. California has totally, like, closed. The refineries have left, and they depend on imported oil. And the Chevron, says, you guys are in bad. You're going to be in bad shape here. You're taking a huge risk.
Yeah, they're importing that oil from Asia, which now Asia has a shortage of oil, so they're not getting that.
It's ridiculous.
And they've also been a pain to deal with. I have a former partner that was an engineer before he was a financial planner. He used to work at that Chevron plant in, I think it was around Long Beach.
Yeah.
He said it was always a problem. Whether it was the state that was the problem or,
always,
it was just an older refinery. They needed more capacity. It was just and they were talking about, I think the Chevron CEO said they may leave in less than 10 years.
Well, a lot of them have left. They've just totally left. Is saying, you know what, you're just too ridiculous to do business here. We're out of here. And it's not just the refineries. It's a lot of the big tech, Silicon Valley companies, and the same thing is happening in New York with the people that live in New York. Okay, here's an upgrade on Broadcom. We wrote up Broadcom last week. We have a fresh article out there on Seeking Alpha. Broadcom is, is that an upgrade they're getting here today? Yes, GF Securities ups target price on higher TPU. There's GPU, there's TPU shipments. I'm not quite sure. I'd have to look up what TPU is.
Have you seen AMD today? AMD is up over 6%.
Looking pretty good today, and that's a big one for us. But we do like Broadcom. And, you know, our junior analyst, he is doing a fantastic job. I did not know that Broadcom was also a software, an AI software company. So not only are they hardware with the semiconductors, and I'm going to put my neck on the line, the semiconductor sector is still the best sector in the market. You just talked about AMD. You got Taiwan Semiconductor, ASM Lithography, NVIDIA, and I still believe that the memory chips are well in play for a couple more years, despite this recent sell-off in them. And, of course, Broadcom is a major player. They upped their target price to $450. Maybe that guy in the UK will put out a $50 target price on Broadcom. Broadcom, wow, that's pretty good. I mean, Broadcom's trading at $321. He's in line with our target price. So we agree. Most analysts are usually pretty good, and I'm in line with them. I did not like yesterday somebody put out a buy rating on Microsoft. Have you looked at a chart of that thing lately? And have you done a valuation on Microsoft lately? We put out a sell rating on Microsoft, which is pretty gutsy. It's only gone down and hitting new 52-week lows since we put that article out, that controversial article out.
Yeah, it's not your grandpa's, you know, Microsoft at the moment.
No,
I mean, it's just not. We've owned it a ton over the years, but currently it's not.
No.
It's not one we own.
We tell it like it is. I don't care if you're Microsoft. I don't care if you're Disney or AT&T. The numbers are the numbers, and it comes down to your earnings growth, a multiple. And a target price. And I think Microsoft had less than 50% upside potential over the next 5 years, which is a grade, a valuation grade of F in the system that that I use for my own work here at Gunderson Capital Management. Okay, let's see. A couple others. We're not going to get to them all. I don't think anybody wants to hear about Chewy's earnings. Are you interested? You want to chew on Chewy's earnings?
I get enough dog treats from Chewy right now that I don't even want to see their.
It's stuff. The online
it cost me a little money. Already.
Yeah, the online dog bone, dog biscuit company.
Between dog, yeah, I mean it's very efficient. You know, usually though I'm paying for medicine. It's no, it's never. You know, we got a couple aged dogs, and we get our medicine from there.
If you have any left over, I could use a little. You got something for a cranky ankle.
Got some for some joints.
Knee.
Yeah, exactly. There we go.
If you get a little left, drop it off in my house. Now, Chewy, we're going to skip that story. Arm. Oh, wow. Look at Arm today.
Yeah.
And it's up 15%. They've got a new chip.
They're going to manufacture
themselves. We need to look
into
this.
Yeah, and it's a, or what is it? They're having. I think TSM's going to help them build it, but they're it's almost like their own chip, which is kind of different from what they normally do.
Yes.
Right?
Okay, and we're going to end with this story because I like this story. Energy Fuels, which is UUUU, which is digging in the ground in Utah, produces the first U.S. heavy rare earth terbium oxide. Terbium, do you remember that from your chemical class? No, I don't.
I think I missed that one
on the test, but it's IUM, I know that. And they say that they expect to continue producing terbium oxide at the White Mesa Mill at the approximate rate of 1 kilogram per week. So we've got rare earth in Utah. We'll end with that. Okay, to reserve a spot. On our Sarasota trip, and we have not decided yet where we're headed after Sarasota. We're thinking Colorado, maybe. It could be San Jose. It could be Cleveland. It could be Minneapolis. It could be Bloomfield Hills. It just depends on the weather and what I'm in the mood for. Am I in the mood for a Dungeness craft cocktail or Pittsburgh?
Yeah.
Or some of that Dutch. I want to go up there and have some of that Dutch buffets up in the Philadelphia and see the trains. That's a good trip, too. We'll wait till the Padres are playing the Pirates or the Phillies. Well, to get the newsletter for free weeks and the app and the live trading, GundersonCapital.com, to set up an appointment to talk about a financial plan and money management, 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Charles Schwab. Schwab is a member of SIPC and FINRA.